North South Connection proudly presents TNA Never Dies. Now, cross the line with your hosts, Aaron, Jenny, and JT.
A woman in the front row is screaming, holding a wine cooler. A full glass. Should she have this glass bottle at this event?
This
spill, baby.
Yeah, it's a fairground.
You can't.
Wine coolers were so big in the 80s. Like, my dad worked for a liquor distributor when I was growing up, and I just remember our refrigerator was filled with wine coolers. Like, that was the drink at, like, our family parties and stuff, and, like, he would bring them out in the cooler, and, like, all the women, like, either for, like, they did, like, this insurance thing, too, and they'd have big parties for that, and they'd always have the wine coolers out there. It was always the Bartles and James, or what was the other big wine cooler at that point? Shit, can't think of the name. Bartles and James is definitely one of the big ones.
Zima.
No, this is pre-Zima.
Yeah, fancy.
Pre-Zima.
My parents always bought this like giant box of wine. Did you guys have boxes of wines?
I've never had boxed wine before.
But it exists, right? It's not like the milk in bags that seems very foreign to you guys.
No.
No, it was in college. Boxed wine was the thing. So there was Bartles and James, California Coolers, and Seagram's. Seagram's had the other ones.
Seagram's,
yeah. Big ones.
Yeah, I think my parents were like real. I think my mom is still a really heavy drinker. But my dad stopped at some point, like just stopped drinking at all. And I think maybe he might have secretly had a problem that he never shared with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that's what happened?
No, he was fine.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm confident.
Because why did he stop like that?
He just didn't feel like having it anymore.
But he like drank all the time before.
Yeah, I mean, he just didn't stop liking it.
Oh, you didn't know?
Get it, good, it, good.
Allow us to share a little info is what opens this show. And Tanae is already trying to like talk BG up. Like, Jenny, is BG, as his initials, too close to BJ for comfort?
I mean, just take out the G and leave the J for James. There you go, BJ.
Yeah, BJ.
Should be BS or a bunch of fucking bullshit when he comes out.
He has all the 2000s gear on. He's got the hat on backwards. He's got a million earrings, a Jesus cross on the leg that I didn't notice until now. And he wants to start off by talking a little skickety shizmack.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
He's the worst person.
Now, on our last episode, we talked about them having merch, but here he's wearing a TNA staff shirt.
He's a TNA staff infection. That's what he is.
He thinks that Jeff Jarrett is not a stranger to Rump Rangers. Okay. But then BG says he also wants them to bring Marianne and the Professor. Because we're all shipwrecked. Both of you, in 2002, would this have been a reference that resonated with you?
Sadly, I think so. Because, like, that was, if you think of the nostalgia of the late 90s, 2000s, like, it was still kind of that stuff. Like, Nick at Night and those channels, like, still kind of had that era of show on.
Listen, Gilligan's Island went off the air in 1967, all right? 35 years.
It's like a
that was still
thing.
The stuff that was like shown back then.
Yeah. 35 years before
Green
the
Acres,
show.
Maybe a few years dated, but at least by mid to late 90s, that stuff was still on, like those channels. Like I remember my dad watching that shit. Andy Griffith, like all that stuff.
It's like if the Miz started dropping lines from Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids on SmackDown. Like it's
now?
The same.
No.
Yes, now. It's the same. Anyway, even six.
Yeah, but Fat Albert doesn't air in reruns now. You know what I mean? Like, that
yeah,
was
that's
airing.
Because Bill Cosby's a rapist. It's not because of anything else.
But my point being, that was still culturally on the radar because those reruns aired a ton. Acres, like all that shit.
Can we agree that it's lame for him to say it?
Of course it's lame. Everything he fucking says is lame. It's terrible.
Even six looks disappointed. Like as he's talking. And then James says, oh yeah, I'm a poet, and I know it, and I'd like nothing better than to stand here and show it. Jenny, this is the most embarrassing thing we've seen on these shows so far, right?
It's real bad. I mean, if you make Jeff Jarrett look good, if you make Brian Lawler look good,
yeah, right?
You got problems. I just kept waiting for truth. I'm like, God, just please come out and interrupt this fool. And Six, what are you even doing with him?
Poor Six.
Oh, it's awful that he saddles with this fucking degenerate.
Just beat his ass, please.
Look, I at this point of the show, I've had to pause it like 5 times just to compose myself. Because every time I pause it, I'm like, I'm not going to do this now. I'll do it later. And, like, I just don't want to watch anymore with him, right? Now he's bitching out about the truth, and Tenay's like, that's his former partner! Like, slips it in. He keeps calling him Ronnie. He then calls Six-Pack the past, himself and Six-Pack the past and the present. Six is the present of the duo, correct?
He is both.
Yeah. Then he says, you ain't ready until we say so. What on earth is he talking about?
It's just awful gatekeeper stuff. Like, the veterans will say when he's ready. Like, even though Truth, I think, is probably older than both of them.
Right.
They're acting like, you know, it's just the usual gatekeeper bullshit.
Yeah.
Backstage locker room guy.
Yeah, he hands the mic to Six-Pack, and I'm just like, at this point, I'm like, I just hope Waltman talks like a human being. And Waltman, like, buries low-key. They're like, I don't know what Loki's doing. They're sending him to do the job that we should be doing. I feel like Loki could take either of them in a real fight.
Right. This actually goes somewhere, though.
Yeah,
which
I know.
Is kind of cool.
I know, which I appreciate. Yeah. Then James says, what you got here are two crackers wanting a piece of the suntan Superman. Well, I ain't suntan, and he ain't Superman, but what we are is white kryptonite. Now, I guarantee you the Harris brothers have referred to each other as white kryptonite.
As they ejaculate together?
Yeah.
It's likely that BG saw that on a Harris Brothers shirt on the way to the ring. I was like, I'm going to use
that. That's awesome. That's just a saying, right? Yeah, no problem.
Saw it on one of their tattoos.
Yeah. What does that other tattoo say? Heidrich Himmler? All right, cool. I'll work that in too. Are either of you aware of what white kryptonite does in comic books?
Is it like white dog poop, like in Step Brothers?
Nope.
Nope.
Because, like, the different color kryptonites do different things to Superman, right? And white kryptonite kills plant life.
Oh.
So it's an even lamer reference than you could have even thought about.
Yes.
And seriously, we're five minutes into the show. It's taking me 30 minutes to take the notes. And I just keep thinking about the choices I've made. Like, how am I here? What did I do? And then they say Truth is running, hiding under his mama's house coat like he was running from the law. Then they do the fucking Inner Circle song, What You Gonna Do? What You Gonna Do When They Come For You? This is racist, correct?
Very.
Extremely.
White kryptonite singing about how R-Truth is a criminal. Like, then Truth comes out and just calls them on their bullshit. He calls them good old boys, but they act like they're acting like good old boys. And the crowd is chanting, like, overrated. And I'm like, just for the sake of humanity, it better be for fucking BG James, right?
Which I don't think it was.
No,
I don't think it was either.
No. Then Truth says that they have a silver spoon dangling out of their asses, and then Six gets fed up with the race card stuff, and he says, this ain't Dolomite, this ain't 1967, boy, but they're making references from TV shows from 1967.
The boy thing was bad.
I know.
Yeah.
Dolomite? Bad. Why are you bringing up Dolomite? Like, that's.
I feel like they've dragged poor Six into this bullshit, and now he's slumming it.
Yeah.
And he's playing down to BJ James's crap.
Yeah. He says his foot's going to be dangling out of his ass, and then to make this segment better, Jeff Jarrett's music starts. And because it's supposed to be Jarrett, Skipper, and Six-Pack against Hall, Six, and BG James. And Double J wants to know where the third member of Team Derelict is.
That was pretty funny.
And I guess, and he goes, is Scott dealing with his demons again? Also, Jarrett is wearing a fucking Aztec medallion on his chest for some reason. James jumps in, who are you to judge? And, like, they just spent 10 minutes judging Truth and calling him a criminal. Jarrett says it's going to be a handicap match. Lawler and Skipper hit the ring. The Crackers clear the ring. Road Dogg's legs are so fucking skinny. Like, he's never seen a squat rack in his life. JT, how bad was this whole opening segment?
It's brutal. All of it. I hate it. I hate it. And I hate, like, on our last episode, we gushed about how great Six was and how good he looked.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, such a step back that he's dealing with this crap.
Yep.
Getting dragged into this race stuff that felt completely uncomfortable. slumming it with fucking Brian Lawler now, of all people, in the mix here too. It was just bad. The race stuff with James and Pac is like a little too comfortable. You know what I mean? They're like a little too comfortable talking about it.
Yeah.
And James is brutal. Jarrett's Jarrett. Just awkward as always. And Truth is the only good piece as usual.
But he's
and the brawl was fine.
Yeah, but he's stuck in here with these guys, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Jenny, after watching this, do you want to continue this project?
Well, I did type out my resignation letter after this, but I decided I can't do that to you guys. Y'all need me here.
That's
keep
true.
Saying.
We do need you.
And why does Jarrett get to say whatever he wants? It's like everyone always says about Triple H, like kind of says what he wants. You know what I mean? Like whatever he can take his shots and to get away with it. No one says it back to him. But I feel like Jarrett's the same way. Like he kind of says whatever he wants. And
they all say whatever.
Yeah, especially him. He like really goes below the belt a lot of times. Like talking up Hall's demons and calling him a drunk. You know, it's like, fuck off.
I think he doesn't get the credit because no one gives a fuck about TNA. And ultimately it has no like.
Yeah,
like,
but you know what? He did that shit in the WWF and WCW as well. He's always been a prick that like calls stuff out like that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, anyway, we're right to Dancing Girls because nothing on the show matters. Like, we're just boom, boom, boom. West is in his red shirt with the red tie. Tanae's in his tux. Jenny, he's going to be buried in that tux, correct?
Ah, God, I hope so.
Yeah.
Hopefully
They're going to get Scott Hall on the telephone, they say. And Tanae says, we're going to get Total Nonstop Action kicked off. I figure since it's nonstop, it should already be kicked off, but who am I to judge? Like, the show, like, I feel like the show should just start like it never stopped from the week before. Like that'd be the ideal format of this show. We're getting amazing.
I did like the red
our
silk.
Show.
Yeah, right.
I do like the red silk on West.
Sure.
And it was good to mention all the new cable companies carrying the pay-per-view.
I noticed that too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Comcast. And we're getting Amazing Red versus Shark Boy. JT, does Shark Boy's music sound like water?
I guess.
Is that what it's supposed to sound like?
Well, see, I always thought that Def Leppard sounds like water.
Wait, what?
Like the music of Def Leppard, I find it sounds like water.
All of their music sounds
a
like
lot water? Of it. Bow, bow, bow. If you've got love in your sights. Like, I feel like watch out. Bow, bow, bow. I feel like you could play that music like
okay,
for,
I feel you.
For like a submarine sinking to the bottom.
Yeah, definitely want Def Leppard playing if I'm sinking in a submarine.
When you make love, do you look in the mirror? Yeah, it's total water music. Same thing with Rocket. Like you're going into the sea with that music. Anyway, listen. Next time you listen to a Def Leppard album, I want you to be thinking about water.
Yeah, I will never think of anything other than that.
Put on Hysteria.
You know what goes good with like Watch a Hurricane on a Radar with Steely Dan. That's... Hey 19, it was like written to watch like a satellite on a storm on a satellite.
To tooth that video.
The mat of the ring just looks so dirty. It's probably filled with hepatitis.
Yes.
Jenny, is hepatitis the funniest disease name?
No, there's way more funnier.
Like what?
Disease names. I don't know. COVID-19.
COVID? I've heard people call it COVID. I don't like that. A swine
it's
flu?
Like a Boston thing.
Like if you got the swine flu, like you had to tell someone and they looked at you like you're swine. It's just... So Red and Sharkboy are fighting. Skipper's on commentary and he sounds like a child. They've just decided it's going to be a tag team match in the main event and Skipper's out. Red's flipping around the ring. Plumtree's out there again. West swears he's like... West goes, I swear that's Mortimer Plumtree. Like, was there any fucking doubt? Who else looks and dresses like that? They're just talking about Skipper nonstop in this match. Tanae wants him to... Tanae goes, channel your anger and call this match with us.
Help us call the match, Skip.
Yeah. West says it's an unbelievable match, but they haven't talked about it once in the 5 minutes. Shark press slams him over the top rope. Skipper's just talking about Jarrett and Truth. And I don't know if you guys noticed this. There's a guy in the front row with a giant blue cowboy hat. And I fucking hate those things. And if you're going to wear a giant cowboy hat, don't maybe go to the front row. Like, you're blocking
right, it's kind of shitty. Yeah.
Everyone.
Well, that's why you do it.
upset the rest of the crowd?
Exactly.
They paid $15 to be there, Jenny, all right, to get this priceless experience. Red hits a flipping suicide dive. I feel like Red, like, with his face, should be under the mask. No, maybe two masks.
Like, well.
He just looks too young.
Well, how do you know Shark Boy looks any better?
I don't. I'm adding masks. I'm not taking masks away.
Okay.
I don't need to take masks away. Skipper.
Well, you made it sound like a choice.
Yeah, I guess. I guess I did. I didn't mean to. But I, you know what? I'll take my chances. I'll take my chances with Shark Boy because he might look he might be like a human shark, right? Like. Skipper is screaming about how this is his house, but it's completely undermined by, like, his tiny voice. This is my house! Like, it's basically, it's Mike Tyson without the lisp. I hate that Shark Boy has, like, pictures of sharks all over him. Like, JT, isn't he a shark? He's a shark, right?
Maybe those are his family members. Like, they're like tattoos for us.
Right, because you don't put... But you don't put tattoos of, like, other humans on you. Like, you...
Yeah, you do.
Some people have, like, tattoos of, like, their kids on them.
Yeah, but they'll never turn out, right?
Or Letitia, or whatever.
Like, what?
Letitia.
Why that name?
Mary.
Maud. A lot of people have, like, Jesus, you know? Like, his whole face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you gotta respect the whole face.
You know there's someone out there with a Trump tattoo.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Absolutely for sure. But which Jesus are they putting on their body? They're putting white Jesus on their body, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That doesn't make no sense. Skipper does crack me up, though, at one point, because he says, "What am I supposed to tell my wife when I come home with no money tonight?" Like, and then it occurred to me, Jenny, why is he doing commentary and standing there if he's not getting paid?
He's really heated about not being in this match. He's really heated.
For the night.
Just go home.
I love you so much for saying that because it broke me when he did that.
What am I going to tell my wife? Like, it's so high. Like, by the way, if you Google Donald Trump tattoo, you'll be mortified by the results.
Yes.
Yeah, just go home. West is like, "I feel for you." And then Skipper goes, "Someone's going to feel my wrath tonight." Mm-hmm. But then Tanae says, "What is that supposed to mean?" Couldn't be fucking clearer, Mike. He's going to beat somebody up. Shark Boy hits a deep seas dive. Red kicks out. Wes talks about the resilience of Red. And then Tanae goes, "Well, that's his name. Amazing. We shouldn't be surprised." But that isn't his name. His name isn't Resilient Red. All right? It's Amazing Red. Shark Boy destroys.
It can't be amazing if you're not resilient.
I guess. Shark Boy destroys the business by biting Red, but he doesn't have any mouth like opening on his mask. So like he just. The shark teeth are doing the biting.
He was using the shark teeth. Yeah, there you go.
Infrared for the three count, of course, because it's TNA. Elix Skipper beats up Red after the bell. Tanae and West act shocked, even though he's been threatening to beat someone up the entire match.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening? Okay, so I missed most of this match with all the commentary. JT, what happened?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, it was mainly Shark dominating a lot of it, but I love the quick comeback by Red into the finish. Hits the inverted DDT, the corkscrew press, and a standing shooter star press for the win. I thought the match was really fun. I love how Red just hung in there and then hit his big moves as soon as he found an opening. I thought it made both guys look strong. I thought it was a nice showcase. And Sharkboy is a good addition to this like mix of young X Division talent if he sticks around. So I went 3 stars. I really, really like this match.
Yeah, I'm right there with you because I was pretty pissed off at Skipper, really, honestly, because I felt like he ruined the match with this ridiculous commentary. Because they just weren't paying enough attention to what was going on and not giving it enough credit because these guys were really doing a great job. I really like Shark Boy, and Red is completely amazing. I'm super happy he won this match. I feel like he needed this win. And 3 stars.
I put 3 stars with a question mark, but I guess I got it right. Jenny, what do you think New Jack would do to Elix Skipper's ass?
He'd probably shoot it.
Stick a fork in it.
So Skipper beats up security until Don Harris gets there. And Tanae's like, "When Heavy D gets here, people listen."
It's like Heavy D.
He's leading a conversation group. There's a sign now that says ECW will never die. It's dead. We know it's dead. We get a recap of Truth yelling from last week, the X Division title match. I will say it's 22 minutes in and nothing's going on in the back, which is a record for, mm-hmm. for the show. But then right away, never mind, because Goldie is with Low-Key, who's looking in a mirror. He calls out Six-Pack for burying him. His promo was clearly written by a bot. Like, his words don't make any sense. JT, have you ever had a mustache as dirty as Low-Key's here?
No.
Nobody ever has.
It's like, it's so thin. It's not even like, it's just so fucking strange. Like,
look, weak.
Yeah, like, just shave that, man. Like, come on now. So now we get the SATs music for the third time, like in the third time in 10 minutes, because it played for Red coming out, it played for Red's victory, and now it's playing for the SATs. Can we not space this show out a little differently than this? And then Truth comes out. He says, "Yo mama sucks" to somebody, which I appreciated. Then Truth starts talking about conspiracies, which is a much longer storyline that I had given him credit for. He says, "You're going to have to kill me to beat me," and he wants to just have his match now. So Low-Key comes out, and we're getting Truth versus Low-Key. And Low-Key comes in, and like he's kicked to the ground, and it's actually a really hot brawl to start. Like, they're uh-huh. really going at it. Great strikes from both of them. Key is kicking the shit out of him. Jenny, the start of this match, how much did the start of this match do to make it feel more important?
See, one of my, like, overall, I really like this, but one of the things I really liked about this is they roll from Key's promo to Truth's promo in the ring, and then they just start the fucking match, and then they just go for each other. So it was like, you know, kind of a real hot run there for a minute, and this match does not disappoint.
I like the talking point by Wes, too. He says Truth, he's letting these X Division guys get in his head, and it's costing him his temper, and it's going to cost him. Like, this has been a running theme now. These guys really piss off Truth every week, and, you know, they're getting him in a spot where he's not mentally focused.
Yeah. I love the urgency of both guys off the start. Truth takes him outside. He fucking kills him with European uppercuts. So it's like he's no slouch with the strikes. And I like that Truth is wrestling aggressive to match Low-Key. Mm-hmm. Low-Key tries to jump on the rail, but Truth just kicks him into the crowd. JT, how much would you pay for Low-Key's ass in your face?
$15, even though it's perfect.
It's all you'd have to pay. They fight around the building. I guess there's no count out. Truth crushes him with a road case, which I thought was pretty vicious looking. There's no count out because the ref is just following them, right, for whatever. But I don't mind this because they're back in the ring. They're still fighting with a purpose. I don't know if it's Key selling, but Truth's stuff is looking really good.
Yes.
Truth applies a double chicken wing, and when I see it, like, there's no way for him to get out of here. Like, there's actually no way. Truth keeps trying to pin him with his feet on the ropes. Low-Key fights back. He hits a great jumping kick to the face off a springboard. Close two count. Truth hits a muscle buster. Low-Key avoids the lie detector, gets in the dragon sleeper. Truth breaks free, hits his new – he throws his cool spinning forearm smash. The Truth conviction – what's it called? Truth conviction from the top for three for Truth. JT, how locked in is Truth here in this match?
Yeah, he was really good. You know, he's trying to take Key's legs apart because of the kicks, so it's a good strategy. Works the back, works the legs, and then he kind of goes off game plan and goes up top and misses his splash. And it cost him because he went off the plan and it had been working, and he kind of gets a little cocky. I thought Key's comeback was good, too. I really like that package neckbreaker by Truth. It was stiff back and forth down the stretch. You didn't really get that hot flurry, but it was a hard-hitting one. And I thought it was a clear, clean, hard-hitting match. I thought Key looked strong. Truth looked strong, too, hanging with him. It was a fun title match. I think Truth has been greatest champion. And him, like, battling these ex-guys that are pissing him off is a cool touch because it's also allowing them to have, like, really damn good matches because Truth is in it with the best guys in the company. So I think it's a cool storyline, and it's led to some fun matches. I went 3.25.
Jenny, if Truth wasn't here, how bad would this show be?
Oh, I can't. Like, I would have to quit the pod probably because I think he is just fucking amazing right now. Like, this is a 4-star match for me. And, like, the throwing Key, like, he kicked him, like, 3 rows into the crowd, and that was fucking awesome. The crowd brawl was pretty good. I really liked that equipment case to the fucking face on Key, and he was just, like, selling it, like you said, really well for Truth. And but he was gutting it out, though, right? Like, he was Truth was pretty much tearing him apart for most of the match, but he just kept kind of coming back and kind of gutting out, but really just could not get it over on Truth, who was just like completely in the zone in this match. This is probably his best match that we've seen for me. I thought it was super impressive and amazing.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I'm four on it too. I think this is my favorite match we've seen in this project.
I could see it. I could see that.
Like, I love the intensity of it. I love that Truth was involved in it, and I love Low Ki. But because it's TNA, of course, Truth is attacked after the match by a guy in a white mask and a white hood. Jenny, do you feel based
Where's
on...
Where's Don Harris?
Do you feel based on Truth's storyline that the white mask and hood was the best choice for this attacker?
It was definitely not, but, I mean, it's TNA, so it makes sense.
We'll see where it goes. Of course, it doesn't matter because we cut right to the dancers. And I love that, like, Truth is helped out, like, from the ring as the SATs music is playing. Like they're carrying him out with this, like, boom, 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 boom. Like, I don't know. Like, I can't think of a worse song to be stretchered out of an arena to.
The water music?
God gives you, woman, woman. So it's the Maximos against the what's left of the Elvises. This match is what is known as a qualifying match for a shot at a later title bout. He sounds like Perd Hapley, I find, from Parks and Recreation.
What is happening is...
a title match. but then they just say the winner's getting it. Like, it's like he says this in a complicated way and then goes, the winner's getting a title shot next week. Yang's throwing some kicks, but they all miss by about a mile. Then they take some time to go through the ages of these guys. Like, so Jorge's 25, Yang's 21, Joel's 22, and Josie's 18. At 25, would either of you have rode a bus to Nashville to get a job in a wrestling promotion?
Yeah, if I was a pro wrestler.
Yeah, maybe I would too. Plumtree is, of course, there for some reason. So is Sonny Siaki. He's come out to watch in his red pants that match Don West's red shirt. Estrada gets the hot tag. He comes in and destroys Josie. They do like what looks like a really difficult backdrop. Estrada then yells, PCP! JT, what is PCP?
It's an illegal drug.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's also your primary care provider.
I think that's what he meant.
Estrada does one leap too many before missing a dive. Now they're doing a bunch of near falls. Yang fights in the crowd. Siaki takes his place on the apron for the hot tag, which I thought is weird. And then Estrada tries to tag him, but Siaki just walks away.
Yeah.
Then the SATs hits the maximum explosion for the win. Jenny, is Jorge Estrada the stupidest motherfucker on the planet?
No, he's not. This is a fun match.
Yeah, this is like Sting level stuff.
Yeah, like...
I thought West had a good point. Like, he kept talking about how there's no distractions and all the stuff without Siaki. It's addition by subtraction. So it made sense that Siaki then shows back up and then it plays into it. He's like, they're not as good when he's out there. I also thought West was good debating if Plumtree was looking for new talent or if he had someone and was scouting competition. So it was kind of a neat spin on, like, why he's there.
Them working so hard for a guy just standing there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's interesting.
This better have a good payoff. I can't imagine it will.
I there's no way. Right.
But I mean, I thought this was a fun match. All of these guys are really good. It's the premier tag teams of the X Division. Fun heat segment, hot tag. I like the finish with Asshole Siaki screwing his buddies again. I mean, Estrada kind of looks silly, but you almost can kind of understand a slight moment of weakness for his buddy. And the SATs get a title match, which is cool. So I went 3 stars. That was a good match.
Yeah, I think Yang pulls out the most beautiful moonsault that I've ever seen, like, in this match. It was just poetry. Like, it was gorgeous. Yang is amazing. I think that they need to use him more. Maybe more than Estrada, if you think Estrada looks like a dumbass.
Think he looks like a dumbass. I just think, like, trusting Siaki at this point was fucking stupid more than anything
else. Yeah, it was really stupid. I think he's still hanging on. You know, like, he doesn't want to let go yet. Like, he doesn't – I don't know. I might be reading into that, but the hot dogs are really good. And then I really like the finish. So 3.25 for me as well.
I went 2 and 3/4. I don't know. There's something missing for it, but I don't know what it was. We get Goldilocks in the back, and Siaki's like hustling her around. And out of nowhere, Jerry Lynn jumps in and starts beating up Siaki. But then Styles grabs Jerry Lynn, and it's like, stop, stop. But meanwhile, Siaki's punching Lynn. And as Siaki continues to punch Lynn, AJ's still holding him and screaming, stop, which
yeah,
I like.
That's great.
Yeah. This is good character stuff from AJ here. Then they put Jerry Lynn in a road case and shut it. And AJ's like, you better be glad that Bullet Bob didn't see that. JT, are you surprised they didn't slap a sticker on the road case and ship Lynn to OVW?
It would have been worth it. Or back to Minnesota. See, this is the heel AJ that's been good.
Yeah.
Not the frat boy shit from last episode. This is like where it works, where he's just like, you know, sneaky, like holding on the back, like he's trying to help and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, I had no problem with this segment. Siaki now comes out. He's soaked. Jenny, have you ever seen a wetter man?
Ugh. Not since Under the Sea.
I haven't seen someone that wet since they were listening to God, I just drew a blank. I blew the joke.
It's fine. Aaron will cut it all out.
No, I won't. Let's wait for you to get it and then retell it.
Duran Duran?
Def Leppard?
Def Leppard, thank you.
Oh, but I don't think they're actually wet. I just think their music sounds like water.
I know. I said since someone that was listening to Duran Def Leppard, they would have gotten wet because they were in the water listening. What's next?
Hold on, I'm just gonna let this sit for a minute.
So
David Young,
gear, very generic. His music sounded like a Casio beat, like the rap.
Yeah. But at least it fits his character more now than the Elvis stuff.
My Superman.
David Young is out to be killed by Siaki, and they bring up Bobcat right away, like, and how she got this whole this case. So we're going to talk a lot about Bobcat because it's all the commentators talk about for the whole match and how Bobcat used to get David Young off of his game. But before we do that, JT, how do you feel about Siaki's red slacks?
I like it. It makes it pop. It's sharp pop. Looking.
Tane then declares David Young the master of the spine buster. And like I wish they spent as much time talking about Ed Ferrara as they did Bobcat. Like they're just like they're just going on. The action continues. They're going back and forth, but they just won't stop talking about Bobcat. Like
they keep shitting on her. They're like she was the reason he sucked.
Yeah, and like I feel like West was either banging Bobcat or like something happened there. Now Tanae's talking about. Then Tanae breaks out. He starts talking about a hometown newspaper of Winston-Salem doing a profile on Sonny Siaki, and it's like, you're really reaching for these references at this point. And how Siaki went around backstage and showed it to everybody. Siaki hits a bunch of shoulder blocks and then pins Young directly next to the ropes. Jenny, does it bother you when guys act as though it's like their very first match and don't know the basic rules?
Yes.
Yeah.
And... you and I are just like clued in, I think, on this whole TNA because like everything you say is like a note that I have. Because it's like David Young out here to get destroyed by Sonny. Like, yeah, pretty much. Master of the Spine Buster, I think Arn Anderson might disagree with that.
I think there's a long list of guys that are probably on that list before.
Yeah, probably so. Probably not this guy. And I like the red color of his pants, but it's like a weird like fabric. It's not like khakis and it's not like sweatpants. It's like some sort of like
copper
silk cup. Is it silk?
I feel like they're like Mod Robs from like the early 2000s,
like moisture wicking or something. I don't know.
They have to be considering how wet this man is.
Yeah.
Siaki is just hitting moves, and when the ref is doing the counts, he's slapping the mat so hard that I can't believe he isn't injuring himself. Like it's full arm windups.
It is.
I've never seen anybody so angry. Like
Maybe you would be too if you gotta referee these fucking shows.
Maybe he's dating Bobcat and he's hearing them fucking talk about her.
Oh, yeah. That's what it is.
Because they're still talking about Bobcat. It's seriously their only reference point with Young. Like, anytime they mention Young, they're like, hey, Bobcat's not here anymore.
And he was looking okay in this match. He was looking better than he had.
I thought he looked all right.
I thought his Aussie moonsault was pretty nice. Yeah. Like, he, some aggressive offense. The Northern Light suplex was nice. Like, he did some good stuff. He showed off the spine buster we heard about.
Well, he does the spine buster, but then he doesn't pin. He just starts yelling at the ref instead for whatever reason.
Well, then he misses a top row moonsault. Don West is shit. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
As he should be. Siaki then hits the money clip for the three. Jenny, is this a good win for Sunny Siaki?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I thought it was going to be like a dumb squash, but I actually really kind of enjoyed it. Young did get his ass whooped, but he got off his moves as well. Not too bad. 2¾.
JT, who got over more here, Young? Who got over here more, Young or Bobcat?
Young, because I actually think he looked okay here. And I think it was proven out that he's better without her, because this is the best we've seen him look. And I thought the match was perfectly fine. I like the back and forth. They had some variant offense, a quality TV match that both guys look good in. Clean win for Siaki. It was nice to have no bullshit, no attacks, no nothing, just a match. So I went 2¾ as well. I thought it was solid.
Yeah, I went 2½. I liked it. I liked it well enough.
You still have a problem with the money clip?
I don't like the name of it. I like the move. The move's fine. Mm. I just think it's a stupid name. Like,
why?
But because it's got nothing to do with his character.
Stupid name like Agnes Agatha, Jermaine or Jack.
Well, did
that man had a really rough time. Okay, the guy, he met a girl at a concert, all right? She said she didn't have a man, she only had a friend. I mean, come on. Come on, man.
Agnes, Agatha, Jermaine, and Jack.
You know what the best part about that song is that it ends with, the last thing is, if you ever, what does he say? Don't ever be with a girl who says she just had a friend. There's not even any outro music. It's just at the end. Like, it's just this guy got jilted. It's like, I gotta do something.
Had a friend.
You know what? I'll write this song. This will really do it. So we're cutting now to this. They're gonna do this package. This package from the tag team title match from last week, and it's so dramatic, and the music. The music feels like it should be playing during a pirate attack. Like, it's complete high seas music. Like there should be swashbuckling and cannons and like the mast going down of a ship. But like nothing is timed to anything that's happening on screen. So if you're watching the pirate attack, like there should be like cannons firing off the bow, and it's just Ron Harris standing there. I just don't understand. I couldn't believe the music they were using. Like, it made no sense. Like, you know, WWF used to have that, like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
I love that you bring this up, because by this point, they've done these video packages a couple of times, and it's not something that we're kind of used to seeing. And it looks like they're copying, right? More, you know. My reference was, like, it felt ECW to me, like their video packages and stuff, but just not as good. Like, it's like the Great Value version of.
It's extremely dramatic, this one. It's extremely dramatic.
So it just seems like they're trying to, like, do these things, like, not have the silly segments, or, like, you know, create these video packages to seem more legit.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, sure. I just have never heard this music and not pictured someone with a rapier in their hand, like, going back and forth or swinging from something. Anyway, Goldilocks.
They're trying.
It's not a criticism. It's just fucking weird. Now, Goldilocks is now in the back interviewing Ron Harris. He says they haven't seen Carnage and they haven't seen Ron Harris yet. Don't understand what that means. He then says that Storm and Harris walk around back here like they're the tag team champions. JT, are they not the tag team champions in this book?
They literally are.
Yeah.
They really are.
And then Harris reminds his brother about the pact they made last week. And Goldilocks, the broadcast journalist, pushes a bit. And Harris says, shut up, bitch. And then Harris wants the cameras gone because he's sick of this MTV shit. Jenny, are you sick of this shit?
We're all sick of this shit. That was uncalled for.
God, I hate the Harris Brothers so much.
as wrestlers or as Nazis?
Everything. Anything about them. They drive me nuts.
See, now, I just like to watch them wrestle. I don't like
to
be Nazis or to, like, scream at young women. So, I was not cool with this.
Yeah, mind you, Harris is not doing anything new to Goldilocks.
Truth.
Yeah. Harris and Chris Harris and James Storm come out to a new theme song that now is matching their tights. The duster is still way too big on Storm. He still looks like a teenager, like really happy to get it, and maybe he'll grow into it. Like, Storm gets on the turnbuckles and starts firing his guns, and the ref like sells it like he's terrified, which made me very angry. And this time, Ron Harris is teaming up with Ashley Ozzy Hudson.
Who?
Yeah, well,
I'm a kangaroo, damn
mate. He's got a boomerang, mate, and a snake in his hand. Hudson, when he gets into his wrestling gear, Ashley Hudson is dressed just like 2020 Sami Zayn with those awful green pants. Storm and Hudson start by just slapping each other in the face. Storm and Hudson are actually having a decent little match, but the announcers want to know about the Harris Pact instead. Harris comes in and crushes James Storm. Harris and Hudson are in control, but the match is boring me to tears.
Today tells us Hudson teamed with Luke as the new Bushwhackers at one point.
Did he? I didn't even catch that. The Bushwhackers aren't even Australian. hot tag to Wildcat. Wildcat hits Hudson with something called a catatonic wand. I can't believe that. There's no way Tanay named that move. He was given that by Harris. Hey, man, you know what I want you to do, dude? He's probably smoking his cigarette all wet in his coat. When I hit this move, I want you to call it the Canatonic Wand. What does that mean? Just say it, man. You can make it work. You're excited. Get the fat ass over there to scream about it. All right? Don't say anything about the cowboy. He's a piece of shit. All right. So it gets to this Canatonic Wand. Harris breaks it up and then lifts Wildcat up. And then Hudson holds Wildcat for a big boot, but Hudson gets hit instead. And instead of stopping the pin, Harris just jumps up and down and throws a tantrum for some reason.
He's such a baby, pussy bitch.
And then so they lose the match. Harris then hugs Hudson, but immediately turns on him. JT, is Hudson the dumbest motherfucker on the planet?
He's awful. Yeah. It could have been maybe some potential. If we get to see some character from him, maybe he's like a demented wild man kind of guy from Australia, like just sick, you know?
Right.
Brings out his Bowie knife and kills someone.
Nice.
West called Ron a scary monster, which is probably the most accurate thing he's ever seen in his life. Ron's at least seemed motivated in these matches, like, so he's had some good strikes, but the finish is stupid. I mean, stupid. And his nickname's Ozzy, like, how does that make any sense?
It's Australian.
Yeah, but whatever. It's so stupid.
I know it's stupid, but like that. But that's what it's also lazy.
Tommy kangaroo down.
Like JT Yankee. You know what I mean? Like
right. Yeah. No, they were saying Aussie. Weren't they saying Ozzy?
I thought they said Aussie. That's what I
like.
Wrote.
Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, but yeah, Aussie. But you would call someone an Aussie from Australia.
No, it's Aussie.
Aussie.
Yeah, but no one's Aussie. Aussie.
Yeah.
I'm an Aussie. You see, it's all the same. All right. You're all right. So yeah, my wife hates when I do the Australian accent. If I do it at all, it makes her mad. But she hates it more because I'll always be like, you're all right. You're all right. Yeah. You're all right.
Who would hate that?
Loathes it. All right.
Everybody.
That's a fair fight, right? where are we? Jenny, do we need more Harrises on this show?
No.
Yeah.
More Harrises.
You know the answer to that. Where is Lee at?
Who's Lee Harris?
Lee.
Dusty Lee.
Brian Lee, the Undertaker.
Oh, he's probably doing the Undertaker gimmick.
Oh yeah, he probably is.
Yeah, Ozzy hugging him, and then just Ron hitting him is like so fucking stupid. It's like. God, it's a Poochie push for the Harris boys. We hear a ton about them throughout the show. They're everywhere. Ron throws poor Borash, grabs a chair that beats up everyone.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Don comes out and they get the stare. I went 2.5. I mean, this is about as basic of a fucking mad, basic bitch match as you can get. It was all right.
It was all right. Two and a half, two. But, you know, I'm like, this is fine. It's fine. But I miss midget matches. What about you, Aaron?
Well, compared to this, I missed. I went to two stars.
Two
stars. So I will annoy her with this voice. You're all right. You're all right. And then my buddy Reg and I, when we got into Lucha Underground, we would always talk about how much we like guys, and it was always like, what about Pentagon? Pentagon. And so for a year, I would always say Pentagon under my breath to my wife. Like, we'd be talking like, yeah, anyway, Pentagon. Anyway, let's go on. How's the kids doing today? Pentagon. All right. And every time she'd ask me what I said, I wouldn't, like, I'd be like, nothing. So I kind of like, I guess I gaslit her for like a year with this Pentagon shit.
Why are you the way you are?
You got some issues.
I don't know. This is what I do. You're all right, Pentagon. And then I finally told
her. This is the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
And I finally told her. And she's like, what the fuck? She kind of reacted the same way. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, she wasn't more mad. Like, it was more
she was
like.
She's just like, I should have expected this nonsense. Yeah.
Like, are you saying something? Pentagon?
I don't know how you're a person.
A wonderful person.
I feel like I've done okay based on what I am, and I should be much. I should be in a right? much worse position than.
Yeah, you really lucked out.
I should probably be alone. Like, all right, here we go. Let's play a game of Snikes. Play some Snikes. All right. So we get the Harris brothers exploding. Whatever. Goldilocks has an update on Jerry Lynn in the back. She's asking if he's okay, but Jorge Estrada's like his fucking nurse and won't let him talk. Like, here comes AJ Styles up to the ring to what I think is some new music and better music, or at the very least, it's louder. Then Lynn's music or the USA song plays, and the dancers have to dance to it, but it's got no beat or anything, so it's impossible. Tanay actually makes a really great point. I know I shit on Tanay a lot, but he talks about AJ never having been beaten for any belt he's lost, which I quite liked. I like that point. He climbs up, but he gets kicked in the tummy. They're doing a ladder match, Styles and Lynn. Styles sets up a ladder.
In the what?
A ladder match, Styles and Lynn.
He got kicked in the what?
The tummy.
The tummy. Okay.
Sorry. The chazwaza. He got kicked in the old chazwazas. You know, where the food goes in and stays until you shit. Right?
Should I a coolie?
Yeah. You know, the coolie comes out your anus. God. Okay, so he sets up the ladder. You guys are getting me off.
Yeah, we are.
Pentagon. All right. He runs under Lynn. AJ runs under the ladder, but Lynn just kind of pushes it into his face in a smart spot. It's a pretty good fight. Styles hits a Death Valley driver onto the ladder, and Mortimer Plumtree is, of course, watching. Jenny, do you think Plumtree is just so enthralled with the show he just has to come out and watch?
I think that he is drawing pornography in his little notebook as he watches the matches.
He's like in Sunny when like Dennis is drawing the psychologist and it's just women with big boobs.
Yeah, just boobs all over that notebook.
Sunny Siaki comes out, and JT, he's wetter than before, which is actually really impressive. Like, he's
he
like
worked up. He got off.
He's like full Def Leppard out there. we get a ref a bump in a ladder match.
He's hungry like the wolf.
Duran Duran! We get a ref bump in a ladder match with no DQ. West then channels Vince McMahon saying, anything can happen in NWA TNA, which I thought was a nice little call. They both flip around a chair until Lynn leg drops Styles' face on it, which was really sweet.
It was sweet.
Yeah, and AJ's busted open as a result. Lynn works the cut. Then West compares Jerry Lynn to Michael Jordan. Jenny, how far is Jerry Lynn from Michael Jordan?
Quite far. Yep. Also compares him to Ali.
Muhammad Ali, that's right.
Not smart.
Yeah. It's like me.
I liked him going in on the cut, though. That was cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
Gnawing at it and clawing at it, grinding his fingers in there.
Yeah, I mean, I love me some Jerry Lynn, but come on.
Yeah, that was good. Lynn then climbs the ladder. Styles puts himself in the cock-sucking position and then powerbomb. Like, he really just jams his head right into his penis. Like, right in there. Lynn, Hurricanrana, Styles off the ladder, though. And now they're doing all the slow climb stuff, which I don't like. JT, how do you feel about, as this match is going on, how's the urgency working for you?
I like the urgency. I mean, the guys really beat the shit out of each other. We've seen them fight a lot of times. So it's like a bet. It's a plus to them that they keep finding ways to make it feel different. And but still natural. Like, they're not forcing new stuff, but they're not replaying a bunch of spots either.
Yeah, I feel like there's a point midway through too where, like, Lynn's on the ladder, Styles is on the ropes, and they just kind of jump at each other. So that was an interesting spot. Mm-hmm. Wes can't even believe they're breathing. Lynn goes to the top. He's stopped by Siaki. Instead of climbing the ladder, Styles does a flip off the third rope to the outside. But then he uses that to come in and climb up and get the title. And now the ref is suddenly fine. JT, to close off this match, why is Siaki helping AJ Styles against Jerry Lynn?
Well, if you recall, last week Siaki pissed off Lynn. So I think it's more that he's against Lynn than for AJ.
Right.
The Lynn coming off that ladder with the wild cross body was crazy. That was like an insane spot. And this is another fucking war with these guys. That was brutal offense. The end where they just did all kinds of shit off the ladder. There's a lot of innovative ladder spots. AJ bleeding was big. It's something we haven't seen a lot of. And we elevate Siaki by putting him kind of on level with these guys. AJ's champ again. And they had great chemistry. Actually, I went 4 stars on this. I thought it was really, really good.
Jenny, are you on board? You want more of these guys still?
Oh, fuck yeah. I loved the ladder usage in this match. Like, they really fucked each other up with the ladder and off the ladder. I don't understand why people just have to come and just stand. Like, what? Sonny's fine. It's fine that he's there, but just come down to the ring or something. Like, come sit on commentary or do something. Like, don't just stand at the ramp. Like, that drives me nuts. I don't know if I'm ready for AJ to win this belt back, though. But I don't know that I still want to keep seeing these Lynn and AJ matches, even though we do love them. I still just feel like we just need to get some fresh matchups between those two. But that being said, like, this ladder match fucks, and it's 4.25 stars.
Yeah, I went 3 stars. See, because I agree with you that they beat the shit out of each other, but I really don't like that they weren't trying to win the match more. And it's a problem I have with all these gimmick matches.
Yeah, but in this one, it's a blood feud. Like, I get why they're just trying to beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I still – and then it goes to the slow climbing and, like – but no one ever – I don't know. It just didn't click for me. But I still gave it 3 stars. I thought it was good. I'm just tired of seeing these two together. Like, I'm done with seeing – and I think as I was thinking about it today, I was thinking about, like, why are they fighting so much? And I'm curious as to how much of this was, like, a training for AJ as well.
Yeah.
Like, he gets to work with this, like, super veteran who works this style forever. Yeah. But for whatever reason, that just didn't do it for me. So now Lynn is fighting Siaki, who's in the entranceway. AJ joins in. They start beating down Lynn. I don't know where security is because they're here every 2 seconds, but not now. Then the X Division roster comes out to help. Like, I just – you know, I'm imagining the security guards, right? And, like – it's like they just broke up this fight. They just broke up this fight. They're like, it was hard. Then they go back to their room. They've just sat down. And as soon as they sit down, someone's like, they're fighting again. Gotta get back out there.
Like, you're like, I'm on a break.
Yeah. Like, they have no time. I'm on break. Yeah. All right, they're fighting out there. Go get them. Why are you giving us these orders? Nah, shut up. Give me a boomerang. So Bullet Bob now comes out, and he starts
looking older than Jesus.
Yeah, and he's wearing white, so like everything looks old. His hair is white, his suit is white. You may have think you pulled the wool over someone's eyes, right? And then he's like, "You can't interfere."
Bullet Bob, yeah.
It was just my southern. Bullet Bob's like, "You can't interfere in championship matches," and the title is held up. They're going to have another ladder match next week. He gives the belt back to Lynn. I think this is kind of absurd because there's no rules in a ladder match. Or at least, I don't know why this is becoming a thing. But
right,
I love
it should
that,
not matter. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love that all this has happened. And as they cut to Bullet Bob walking out, Plumtree's still there. Like, he's been just there the whole time waiting, like, doing his scouting. And now Don West has the fucking mic and he's going to do his hard sell.
Back to that title thing, though. I think they should have just made it vacant. Like, that would have made way more sense. Just say, look, we're going to hold it up. They're fighting for it again next week anyway. It's like it's going to be in some other kind of match. So I would just vacate it. It would have made more sense.
Yeah, that would have made more sense. But alas, it does not. Dawn starts selling next week. Unfinished business next week. Ladder match. Chris Rock will be here. Which
what?
Yeah, it feels like such a strange way to say that. Like, he's filming his new movie, Head of State, and you have a chance to be in it if you're here. Low-key, Mama Luke and Kid Cash. And then he says, in an iron match along with a steel. Any idea what that means?
A steel iron match?
Nope.
Okay, all right. Jeff Jarrett will be here, and we have the greatest merchandise. So I get they got
merchandise. They got some. Yeah. They got some.
And right out of this, here comes Brian Lawler with poor abused April. Lawler's mugging is fucking disgusting. On the like, Al is laughing and lame. Jeff Jarrett's his partner, and Jarrett comes out of the entrance and then puts on his sunglasses, which made me angry. Did he forget to put them on? Right. This time when James is going to come out, Borash leaves him room, like, to do his shtick, but then James doesn't come in on cue. Comes out, oh, you didn't know? I'm like, wait, do we need another fucking promo from this guy? And then he's like, he says, payback's a bitch. First
thing. Oh, yeah.
And then he goes, tonight I'm going to make you my bitch. But then they beep out bitch. And they beep out all the other bitches. So why did they beep out all the bitches except for the payback is a bitch, JT?
Well, because it's being used in a different way. You're not calling someone a bitch. Payback is the noun that's being called the bitch in this scenario, not a person. So they felt like it was less.
What about poor Barbara Payback, who's in the front row? You consider her feelings?
Today called Lawler the most unfocused man in TNA. It was tough to go from that ladder match to this. Like,
yes.
It almost felt like slow motion, these bloated vets. I mean, except for six. I thought Brian James looks like an albino with that blonde hair and the logo tee. Like,
out of shape.
No, there's nothing wrong with albinos. It's just what he looked like. And then he does the Scott Hall tribute, and it gets, like, no pop for it.
I got
like,
two words for
you. Yeah, that was rough.
Well, he goes, I got two words for you. And everybody goes, suck it. And he goes, hey, yo. Fucking loser. No,
does he know that they don't have to talk before every match? Or
He already had the opening promo on the show.
Yeah, like, we've already done this. Like, there's no.
But then six ups it. Because Lawler keeps treating April like a bitch. He'll keep banging her behind his back. And if he wins tonight, maybe he'll get to watch.
Yeah. That was pretty tough.
That was straight out of the Ron Renzi playbook. That was a great line.
Yeah.
And then Lawler starts doing some fucking caveman speak of like, my girl! My girl! And he's like jetting his head like he's a fucking velociraptor. Like, my girl! Like,
God, I hate him so much.
I don't know how it works. I don't know how his body works. They fight in the crowd right away. Jarrett and Six get in the ring. And Jarrett hits actually a really nice drop kick on Six. But then goes right into his fucking bullshit, kicking and punching. Six is doing all his usual stuff, which is great. Lawler comes in. And instead of like beating up the guy who's banging his girlfriend, he mugs to the crowd and tries a suplex. Jenny, if some bitch was banging your man, would your first offensive move be a suplex?
No, I go straight for the eyes.
Yeah, no shit. Lawler gives James the finger, but then James bites his finger, and we get Lawler selling the bite of the finger. Then BJ James holds out the fucking double bird, what feels like an eternity, holds it there. Lawler takes
the
back
gear, over. The gear is so bad.
I know.
Like, yes.
He makes Jarrett look like a fashion icon. Yes. You know what I mean? Like Versace or some shit. Like,
yes.
Just that gear, the baggy fucking generic TNA shirt, that blonde hair, the twisty goatee. Like, this is also gross looking, all of it.
Yeah, like, he's the grossest man. Like if I had a daughter, he's, of the four of them, the one I'd want the least to show up at my door for a date.
Over Lawler?
Yeah, Lawler's probably the worst.
No.
There's no way that Lawler's not the worst.
Come on.
Lawler is a walking, like...
He's the worst.
Temper tantrum, clear abusive boyfriend. Just looking at him.
I'd be in my living room and I'd hear on the out the porks, oh, you didn't know? I'm like, what is that? Who is this now? I guess Jarrett would be the one I'd want my daughter to be with.
Oh, God.
Well,
let's just get away from this analogy.
No,
okay, the ref's in the ring as well, so
I think they're all
consider
trash.
Him.
Well, you can't go with six. You can't.
Why?
Hepatitis. Or whatever. whatever he has. He's got something. Anyway, Lawler takes back
over. Jared does too, I'm sure.
Oh, Jared. What did he do? He just banged Angle's wife. That's fine.
Fine.
Lawler takes back over. It's all fish hooks and bites to the nose. The crowd chant. Well, here we go. The crowd chants that April has herpes. They're chanting this at her. JT, what would they be chanting at Six Pac?
You also have herpes.
Also. And, like, I could totally live with this match if it was just Jarrett and Six, because every time they get in the ring, I actually think it's quite good, and that's high praise for me and Jarrett. Lawler comes in. He fucks up an X-Factor. Looks terrible. Rudy Charles isn't there to do the count. Elix Skipper comes in and nails Six for a close two. I don't know why Bullet Bob isn't out there and mad at Skipper at this point. Jarrett and Six work in dueling sleepers. And at this point, I'm like, fucking BG James is the hot tag. Like, every tag team he's been in, he's never been the hot tag. Or he shouldn't be the hot tag. I don't know why he is here. And then so we get all this, like, nice finesse stuff out of Six. And then BG comes in. It's just clubbing punches. And then James sodomizes Lawler before the pump handle slam for the three count. Skipper and, of course, it's TNA. So Skipper and Jarrett, post-match beating. JT, why does every match have to have a post-match beating?
Every match. I don't get it. It's like, it'd be more impactful if it wasn't every fucking time.
Yeah. This is something that happens every time. Jenny, did you feel safer that it was Amazing Red who was the first one to come out and help?
I did. I was like, finally, somebody doesn't fucking suck.
Yeah, but cover up his face. Get a mask on his face. And as they're fighting on the outside, Tene says this. He says, Brian Lawler is using what appears to be an aluminum can on Six. The X Division comes out. The Truth comes out. Truth and Jared are working together. I thought Jared wanted the title. Where's the security? Why do they only come out for certain beatdowns? And you'd think they'd want to protect their top assets like BG James. Chair beatdown ends the show. What did you think of the match, Jenny?
Well, I don't think it's any surprise that I didn't like it very much. There's just too many douches. There's a douche quoted, and this is not it. Like, we can't – it's too many douches in one match, and they should be disqualified for being douches.
A lot of douches.
Just so many douches. I don't care about anybody except for Six, and I'm disappointed in him for even fucking around with any of these guys. 2.25 stars.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of whatever. It's in line with everything we've seen since the start with Jarrett and Lawler and Hall. Like, all these guys have had right in that 2.5-star range, which is where I was, where their 1995 template, pretty much all of it. Six looks the best by far and deserves so much better. It was a good post-match brawl to mix the X guys with the big boys, and the match is fine. You know, just clean things up a little bit, purge some guys and mix and match a little bit. You could clean this up easy, but yep. It's just here we are. And again, we close the show with this, which is not like we just had AJ Styles and Jerry Lynn. And I get me, you didn't want to close the show with the fuck finish, but it would have been better than this.
Well, it'd just be nice to close with something different. Yeah. Jeff Jarrett standing in the ring with his stupid music play.
Girls on film.
All right, let's talk about the things that happened.
Oh, boy.
A fucking loser rhyming his way to the ring. So much gear. A 35-year-old reference, White Kryptonite, a remount of Inner Circle's What You Gonna Do, a Dolomite reference, dealing with his demons, Kang, a promise of a phone call that never comes because we never heard from Scott Hall, an Elix Skipper showcase, a giant blue cowboy hat, a living shark, a man not understanding what Feel My Wrath means, post-match beating, the narcissist low-key, non-stop SAT music, conspiracies, a post-match KKK attack, PCP, backstage beating, soaking Sonny Siaki, a frequently mentioned Bobcat, a battle of the seven seas, Ron Harris not knowing who the tag team champions are, an Australian, a catatonic wand, a post-match beating, the Harris brothers explode, a ladder match, a ref bump, authority figure lays down the law, another rhyming promo, multiple B-bombs, sexually transmitted diseases, sodomy, post-match beating, Mike Tenay not knowing what a beer can is.
I think I had 37.
That sounds close enough.
It would probably be the most we've had.
Definitely. Exactly. JT, what was your favorite segment?
I guess the final beatdown, which I thought was fine, the post-match in the main event. But, and it, yeah, I mean, the main event itself was whatever, but I didn't mind the post-match stuff.
Jenny.
Favorite segment. Yeah, I guess AJ. Locking up Lynn in the little cabinet thing.
In the cabinet?
Yeah.
Who do you want to see more of, Jenny?
How about some more David Young?
The master of the spine buster?
Yeah. I gotta be blown away by his spine busters. And then the usual suspects. Harrison Storm.
JT, more of?
More low-key push. And more Kaki Siaki.
Kaki Siaki. Who do you want to see less of?
BG James and his stupid promos and the Harris boys.
Right.
Brian Lawler.
Yeah, we might as well just rename this the Jeff Jarrett, Brian Lawler, BG James yes, Award. Yes. Is there anything on this show, though, Jenny, that 2002 you would have liked?
Honestly, can't think of anything. I don't think so.
2002, me would have said, I could see why the WWF fired the Road Dogg.
Yeah, no shit. Anybody got a wild card?
First Blood, AJ finally bleeds. I don't think we had seen it.
The bleeding.
Mm-hmm. All right.
By the way, we didn't do worst segment.
Oh, we didn't? Okay, what was the worst segment?
The BG James promo.
Yes. I don't think we needed. Did we need it? Did we need to do that?
No.
It speaks for itself.
Which one though? The first one, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the first.
The big racist one. Yeah.
White Kryptonite. One.
White Kryptonite and the Gilligan's Island reference and shiznit or whatever the fuck he said. Any imposters? I mean, BG James is impostering the popular Road Dogg.
Yeah.
Masked man attacks. It's like a very big trope. And then Plumtree scouting. We've seen Harvey Whippleman do that. We don't need it again.
All right. And any appearances? Any first appearances here?
Yeah, I had the Masked Man and Ashley Hudson.
Ozzy Hudson.
Oh, he's all right.
He's all right. Comes in like a wild man. Right? All right. Pentagon. But you have to understand, Pentagon. You have to just talk. That's the thing. Oh, God, she's going to leave me. All right. Overall score, was it worth it?
Yeah, I think it was worth it. I went 6 out of 10. I liked it better than the last episode, mainly in the back of Styles and Lynn, which was that great match we didn't get last time in my mind. So I went 4 on that, and that helped carry the show. And that's that.
Jenna.
Yeah. I think I'm 6.5 because I had two 4-star matches on here and then some other like fairly good stuff that I enjoyed. The stuff that was bad was really bad, but, I don't know. I'm still at 6.5 on this one.
Yeah, I'm at 6. I thought it was fine, but mostly on the R-Truth, the killing stuff. All right, let's do our power rankings and get out of here.
All right, so last episode we had The Truth at number 1, Jerry Lynn at 2, AJ Styles 3, Low-Key 4, 6, 5, Kaki Siaki 6, Kid Cash 7, Harrison Storm 8, Amazing Red 9, Goldilocks 10. I think our top 5 should remain, Truth, Lynn, Styles, Key 6. I think that's fine. I like Siaki still at 6, I should say. Those are our top 5. I like Siaki at 6. So this bottom 4 we can talk about. I don't think Cash was on tonight, right? So, but I think he should remain in the top 10 somewhere because he's been good.
Yeah. Going back to that top 5, do we want to move Low-Key up at all?
No, I don't think I can put him ahead of Styles and Lynn yet for me.
No.
I thought he was so good in this episode.
He was.
He was.
The mustache keeps him where he is, though.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I'll go with the mustache.
Anyone you want to try? Is anyone you want to put in place of like Red? Or you want to keep him?
I like Red.
Yeah, I don't know. This actually looks fine. Maybe Shark Boy.
Nah. Oh, we haven't had a ton of new faces. Like everyone's kind of we're kind of settled into like this crew now.
Yeah.
I'm fine leaving it like this. I don't think there's much shift. You get unless you want to do Harrison Storm and bump Cash down because he wasn't on. Like, but what I think Cash has been.
What about Ashley Hudson?
No, you can stay on the other list.
Ozzy.
That'd be all right.
All right.
All right.
All right, Aaron, why don't you tell us what's going on North South Connection?
Well, there's stuff every single day. Every single day. Monday's Year With Me for the year that was, and Montreal to Memphis, Year That Was, is going through the years of every WWE pay-per-view. Montreal to Memphis is us breaking down categories. On Tuesdays, Jacob Williams' Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast. He is breaking down the Ruthless Aggressive era with a plethora of guests. That runs in tandem with this show you're listening to, TNA Never Dies. On Thursday, we're going somewhat to the Attitude Era. We got JT and Chad doing Wrestling Warzone. You guys are still in 96, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
In
the summer of 96, making their way, trucking their way through to the Great American Bash, to SummerSlam. They're going to hit all the highs, all the lows. And that runs in tandem with ECW Three-Way Dance, JT, Jenny, and John D'Amato. On Fridays, sometimes you get Jordan Duncan with Rank and File. Sometimes, two times a month, you get JT, Josh, and I. The gang gets an Always Sunny podcast. We're going through It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia from the very beginning. And then on other days, Jenny, Tim Capel, and Sean Kidd give you the psychology of superheroes in their podcast, where they're breaking down not just superheroes, but their shrink wrap. So they're going deep into their psychology. Saturday, No Holds Barred. Sometimes Jeff Learns Wrestling. And Sunday, Mark Claire, Remzo Martinez, bringing you second print comics. All the shows are wonderful. North South Connection Podcast Network, available on all podcast catchers. Leave us a review. Tell your friends. Tell us how much you hate us. Drop us a line.
All right. That was well done.
All right.
I'm at JT the Pod Guy on Twitter. Jenny's at Jenny Position on Twitter. And Aaron D. George as well. Reach out to us with any feedback you may have. Also, get in on our discussion forum. If you go to Facebook and just search The Place to Be, we've kind of rebooted our old Facebook group page, and it's been hopping. A lot of good conversation, discussion. Our tournaments are there. A lot of cool stuff going on daily. So be sure to check that out. Join up if you haven't yet. So appreciate all of your feedback, all of your ratings and reviews, and sharing the network around. Appreciate all the support.
Bendigo.
All right. We're out.
Bye.
Good night.
Good. Hey!
Who is that? Oh, he's just a friend. Don't give me that. Don't even give me that. You bust this. You got what I need. But you say he's just a friend. And you say he's just a friend. Oh, baby, you got what I need. But you say he's just a friend. But you say he's just a friend. Oh, baby, you got what I need. But you say he's just a friend. But you say he's just a friend. So I came to her college on a surprise visit to see my girl that was so exquisite. It was a school day. I know she was there the first semester of the school year. I went to a gate to ask where was a dorm. This guy made me fill out a visitor's form. He told me where it was, and I was on my way to see my baby doll, I was happy to say. I arrived in front of the dormitory. Yo, could you tell me where is door 3? They showed me where it was for the moment. I didn't know I was in for such an event. So I came to a room and opened the door. Oh, snap! Guess what I saw? A fella tongue kissing my girl in the mouth. I was so in shock, my heart went down south. So please listen to the message that I sent. Don't ever talk to a girl who says she just